has come to set the captives free. And you and I have been made new. We have been made whole. We've been washed. It doesn't matter what your sinful past looks like. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sin. It is a work of the Spirit of God. God is doing a new thing in us. He is renewing us. He is reviving us. That is what the Spirit of the Lord does when we are in fellowship with God. And as we're in fellowship with Him, it brings us all closer together and we help each other to become more and more like Jesus as we live our lives each day. Isn't that exciting? Are you excited about that? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. There is nothing greater than the work of Christ and what He accomplished on the cross. And so you and I, we have reason to rejoice today. We have reason to give thanks to God for all that He is doing, because we're benefiting from what Jesus endured. He paid our sin debt. And we're talking about this month occupying the house and how important it is for us to be able to take up the mantle of Christ and of God and carry out the will of God, carry out the work of God, so that we can benefit from all that God has done to redeem us. You see, God is desiring to reconcile us back to Himself. That is what this is really all about. This is what life is about. We are in the process of being redeemed. And our lead verse today is Acts 2:42, and it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. These are the areas that the disciples were focused on. These are the areas that they were, it says, continually devoting themselves. This is the example that is laid out for us. This is what you and I need to be doing. This is what our lives need to be about. We also need to continually devote ourselves to the teaching of the Word of God, to fellowship, gathering together, the breaking of bread, in other words, studying the Word of God and interacting with each other, developing relationships and sharing lives, and prayer, being able to pray, to commune with God, so that all of these elements that God has given us to put into practice would begin to cultivate and cause us to be transformed into the image of Christ, more, become more and more like Jesus, the way God has designed us to be. And this is what your life and my life ought to be about. When someone describes us, they ought to be able to say about us that we are continuously devoting ourselves to the Word of God and to fellowship with each other and to breaking of bread and prayer, interceding for one another and communing with God for direction and to have an understanding as to what He would have us to do in any given situation or circumstance. And this is where you and I have to have a change of lifestyle. This is where we have to adapt our ways to fit this model so that we can have what I am titling today, a clean house. You and I, we need a clean house. Before you occupy the house, you want it to be a clean house. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's what Jesus has enabled us to have. Jesus has made it possible not only for us to occupy the house, but to occupy a clean house. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Amen. Well, join me as we pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we just ask, oh God, that you would create in us a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within us. Help us to hear the voice of the Spirit today. I surrender myself, O God, that you would speak through me, that not my will or my words, but your will and your words would be spoken, and that it would minister life to the hearers. I pray, God, that you would give each and every one of us a revelation from you as to what we need to take with us to apply out of this word from you. And we ask, God, that you would help us to pick up our mantles, occupy the clean house, and prevail beyond these times. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there is nothing like a clean house. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Nobody wants to live in a filthy house. Have you ever heard anybody boasting of how dirty their house was? No, you don't hear people talk about that. In fact, I have gone to people's houses and they go, ooh, pastor, and they have their face in the door like this. And they're like, what are you doing here? They're like, well, you know, we hadn't seen you in a little while. We thought we'd drop by, see how you're doing. You know, aren't you gonna let us in? And usually you look in, sometimes you see things you just shouldn't see. Hallelujah. And you understand why people don't want to let you in? Because nobody wants to let anybody in to a unclean house. Isn't that right? You want to have a clean house. When you have a clean house, when somebody shows up at the door that you know, and you're like, come on in. You open the door and you go, yes, come in. And they come in and they go, oh, what's up? No, that's not what they do. You wouldn't let them in if they did that. They come in to a clean house. Everyone wants a clean house. Before you move into a space, you wash, you clean, you paint, you remodel, you do whatever needs to be done. When you get a new apartment, the landlord usually gives you a fresh coat of paint all around. He renews, he cleans up everything. He makes things fresh. It even smells clean. Do you like that fresh, clean smell? Oh, there's something about having a clean house. And God is the same way. In fact, the word of God says he will not dwell in an unclean place. And the wages of sin is death. It is sin that keeps us from having a relationship with God or communing with God. Whenever you're living in sin, it robs you of worship. It robs you of the ability to lift up holy hands, to praise God, to glorify God. And very often, because of our sinful disconnect or disconnect due to our sinful condition or our lack of communion with God, we are unable to walk with him, to acknowledge him. Oh yes, we will acknowledge the historical facts about God and about his reality, but there's a totally different life experience when you walk with God and your knowledge is not just an educational understanding of truth, but it is a fact built on a direct relationship with God himself. You spend time with him, you walk with him, you talk to God. You understand your shortcomings and your weaknesses, but you also understand the covering of God. And as a result, God is constantly cleaning your house. He's constantly renewing us. He's reviving us. God is molding us and shaping us. And that's why the apostles, they spent time being devoted to the word of God, to fellowship, and to being in an atmosphere where they were encouraging each other, building each other up, reminding each other of what Christ has done, and being able to stay clean from the mentality of the world. You see, the world is in a fallen condition, in a fallen state, and everything about it is disconnected from God. That is why Jesus had to come. He came so that he could bring restoration, so that he could restore all that God has created back to himself. And so as we look here in Hebrews 9, verses 24 to 28, we see that it says, "For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." This is an amazing verse. The reason this is important, it's because you and I are unclean in our sinful condition. And without the work of Christ on the cross, we cannot be reconciled to God. We cannot come into the presence of God. But Christ can, because he lived a holy and perfect life. He lived the very requirements of the commandments of God in a manner that fulfilled whatever the conditions are that God had for us to be reconciled to God. So now Jesus is able to appear in the presence of God for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That ought to make you happy. That ought to excite you today. And so Jesus is standing in our place representing us. That is why we need Christ in our life. Verse 25 says, "Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not even his own." In other words, do you remember in the Old Testament how they would make these sacrifices, you know, every year? There's the year of atonement, and it comes around in September, October, you know, that season of the year, as it comes around, every year there would be this atoning for sin. And that was because the blood of sheep and goats and animals, God said, would only be worth 1 year's credit for sin. Whatever your sins were in the past year, you bring your sacrifice, it's only good for 1 year. And then you got to come next year and do it again. You need a booster shot. Hallelujah. You need to get another dose of revival, of renewal, of washing away of sins. The sins of goats and animals was only good for 1 year, and then you had to come back because you had a whole nother set of sinful conditions that you've been able to work up over the past year. And so God says, you need to do it again. And the high priest every year would come into the holy place and come in and make these sacrifices to atone for sins. And so this was something that happened until Jesus came. Verse 26 says, "Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer," Jesus, "often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Hallelujah. In other words, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross paid the debt. It brought to a conclusion. It settled the sin debt and the sin condition for all humanity by him dying one time. Because Jesus is an eternal God. He is eternal God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is the Logos, the Word of God that is spoken, and he is that come alive. Hallelujah. God spoke and the world was created. Genesis 1. You remember? Do you? Oh, yeah. Okay, good. All right. Yeah. You know, we're in exchange here. You know, help me out. It's almost like last week. Hallelujah. And so we got to make sure that Christ is at work in the midst of us to reconcile us to God, not just every year by year by year, but for all eternity. He is able to cover our sin forever. Hallelujah. Amen. And so it says he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He sacrificed himself. You and I would otherwise be responsible to pay for our own sin. You sinned, you pay for it. That's the way the rules are. But Christ said, you sinned, I'll pay for it. Hallelujah. That is what God did for us. And he looked down and he said, look, you can't pay. There's no way you would ever be able to pay. You would just have to die and be in an eternal state of death and disconnect and separation from God for all eternity in order to pay for your sin, which means God doesn't get what he really wants, which is fellowship with us forever, to be reconciled so that we could live and interact and he could love on us and he could do amazing things in the midst of us and we can enjoy him and worship him and praise him and give thanks to him. That's what God really wants. And so if we all die in our sins, even God is not happy with that. He's like, no, that's not what this is I'm trying to do. He says, I want them to commune with me, to fellowship with me. Let's make a way to solve what Satan did. Let's undo the beguilement. Let's bring healing and restoration to all that has taken place in the world. And let's make a way for people to come to me if they want to. If they want to. And so he says, let's make a way. And so he sends Jesus, and Jesus comes to make a way for us. In verse 27, it says, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. He says, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, that's all of us, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. Hallelujah. Are you eagerly awaiting him? Are you eagerly awaiting the Lord's second return, the return of Christ? Do you know Jesus is coming again? Are you excited about that? Because the fact is, he's coming again so that you and I can reap the benefits of what he did the first time. And he is bringing with him salvation without reference to sin. The first time he came with salvation in reference to or because of sin. So now that's all done. So now he's saying, I'm coming now to just gather everybody up. This isn't going to be about sin. This is going to be about victory this time. This is going to be about receiving all that I sacrifice to accomplish, all that I sacrifice to achieve. I'm coming for those who are eagerly awaiting him. Hallelujah. That's who God is coming for. I pray that you are eager. Are you eager today? Are you excited today? I pray that you are looking forward to God. You ought to be talking to God. You ought to be communing with God. You ought to be saying, Lord, you got to get us through this. We can't wait for this to come to an end when you would be able to redeem us. There is a day coming when you will be gathered before the Lord and he will receive you to himself, being justified, verse 24 says, as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, saints of God, do you know this is all a gift? Of course you do. I told you a couple of weeks ago. Yes, it's a gift. And it's the gift of God. It's not because you earned it. It's not because you deserved it. It's just because God loves you and he wants you for himself for all eternity, to fellowship, to commune, to enjoy. Think about it, how much God has created. Look at the lovely waters here and the hills along the river. Isn't that beautiful? Look at that skyline. Look at the desert sands over here. Oh, the bright sun as it shines and the clouds. God created all of those things. When you go outside, you can look up, you can see. We live in a beautiful area with the mountains and we have fresh air. Hallelujah. And we have all types of things that we can appreciate that God has created. It's a reminder to us of the gift that is awaiting us.
God says, I created all of this. It's your playground. It's the place where you can enjoy and appreciate all that I've done. Hey, you guys concreted everything. I had it with lush grass, and I had everything laid out. Now you black tarred everything, and now you created roads and stuff. And, that's nice, but you know what? I think what God did was even better. Hallelujah. And it's more beautiful, and we can look at it, and we can appreciate it. This is all the gift of God. It's by his grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, that we are being reconciled to God. He is making life a better place for us, a better experience for those who are willing to come and receive the gift of God. Jesus Christ is the gift of God. It says, whom God, verse 25, displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. And this word propitiation, I have it broken out here because it's one of those words that Christians use, but most people don't have any idea what that means. Well, he's the propitiation for our sins. Oh, really? Well, how have you been propitiated? Well, I don't know. I suppose I've been propitiated in so many ways. I'm just so thankful that I was propitiated. And being propitiated is so important, these days. And, I have no idea what it is, but I love saying propitiation. And there's just something about propitiation that seems to be good. Well, it's actually from the word hilasterion, and it means to appease. And it means to satisfy the conditions. And that's what the blood of Jesus did. The blood of Jesus, when you receive what Christ did on the cross, it satisfies your sinful condition. It satisfies whatever the requirements are so that you can be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. That's your propitiation. Jesus has met all of the requirements needed by sacrificing himself so that you and I can be restored to God. That is our propitiation. He has appeased our sin debt. And so it says that word is the place of propitiation. The way it's used in the context of this verse, it's the place of propitiation is really where it's saying it's an actual physical area. And it says that it helps us to paint the picture of the lid of the golden ark. Are you familiar with the Ark of the Covenant? You know the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is actually several pieces, right? We know that it is the box itself with the rods that go through it to carry it. And then there's a cover, a top. Well, the top is known as the place of propitiation. It is known as the mercy seat. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard of the mercy seat? Yeah, the mercy seat is literally the top of the ark. It is the place where the lamb, where the blood was shed, would be sprinkled on the mercy seat. It represented forgiveness of sins. It representing your ability to be restored to God, that you are being reconciled to God, that the wrath of God is being satisfied, right? Have you seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? They open up the thing, and all of a sudden, spirits start coming out and start consuming all of the evil Nazis, right? It comes up and all that. That's just a movie, okay? That's just a movie. But it does represent the power of God. And what did happen in Old Testament days is because the ark would go forth, they didn't have to open it. They just had to show up. And when it showed up, God would start to do whatever it was that God was going to do, and the power of God would go through it. And so you had to be very careful. You couldn't even touch it unless you were charged with that particular responsibility. Only certain people could even touch it. And so otherwise you would die, all right? That's how serious this is. This is not like you can, isn't that nice? Don't touch it. You had to stay within a certain distance from it, and only certain priests were allowed to touch it. And this mercy seat was the thing that was where Christ is. In fact, the Word of God says that Jesus is our mercy seat. Hallelujah. You see this top cover of the Ark of the Covenant. It's got the two cherubim on either side on the top. This is known as the mercy seat. This is the propitiation, or the area of propitiation. And Jesus is the propitiation for our sin debt. His blood covers us. It cleanses us so that we can be reconciled to God, so that we can experience the power of God in our lives. Hallelujah. That ought to excite you, man. I'm telling you, God wants to empower you. All you need is to come to Christ and sit on the mercy seat. Let Christ restore your life. Let him renew your life. Let the power of God arise and work within you. Verse 25 goes on to say, this was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? In other words, God is not holding your sin debt against you. He is not keeping track of your sin. The blood of Jesus covers it, and it passes over. Hallelujah. Do you remember Passover? Do you remember putting the blood on the door and the doorposts? We talked about that not too long ago. Oh, that is the blood. The death angel passes over. This is who Jesus is to you and I. He is our blood covering. He is the one who enables all the sin and the death to pass over. I remember when I was a kid, my grandmother used to have her furniture sealed in plastic. Have you ever seen this before? You know, it was a way to somehow preserve the furniture. And so, you know, they would seal this beautiful furniture in plastic. It was the weirdest thing. I remember I would go to my grandmother's house and I would sit on the couch as a kid and slide. And you would try to watch TV or something, but no matter what position you took, sooner or later, you ended up like this. You somehow slid down, like into a slooping position. You couldn't like really just sit and just kind of enjoy and relax. You ended up with a backache or some kind of weird twist, because the plastic would cause you to just slide. And it was great at like keeping the dirt away, right? It was awesome at like if you spilled, you still got yelled at, by the way. If you spilled on the couch covered in plastic, you still were punished because you spilled on the brand new couch. It didn't matter how old it was always new. And I never understood this, because my whole childhood, they had that couch. So I knew it wasn't new. But I began to understand as I got much older, it's not that it was new when I spilled onto it. It was that when the plastic would eventually be taken off, it would be exactly as it was when it was brand spanking new. And for that reason, it was always new. Hallelujah. Well, saints of God, Jesus is our blood covering. The Spirit of God is upon us. He has sealed us with his Spirit. He has covered us. Sin may spill onto you, but it doesn't stick. My grandmother would come with a damp, soapy cloth, and she would just wipe it all down. And she would say, move. She would give me a little push, and I would just go, whee, and I would slide over, and she would wipe it over, and then she would swoosh me back, and I would go, whee, and I'd end up on the floor eventually. But then she would just wipe it down. Whatever dust, whatever cereal or milk or juice or whatever food, little things that would fall, it would all go down, but it would all just wipe away. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has wiped away your sin. Your sin is paid. Your debt is paid. He has wiped it all away. Oh, yes, you may have spilled, but guess what? Inside, you're brand new. Hallelujah. It doesn't identify you as this terrible, dirty person because Christ has the ability to wipe it all away. He can wash you clean. He can revive you. He can renew you. No matter what happens, because you're covered by the blood of Jesus, he just brings you before God. He lifts up the veil and he says, peekaboo, it's Christ in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're all brand new. Exactly like the first day that Jesus redeemed you, when he made you new in Christ. This is who you are. This is what God is doing in our life. He passes over our sins. He wipes them away, anything that was previously committed. And he does it for the demonstration, he says, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. So in other words, if you have faith in Jesus, that means that Christ becomes your justifier. In other words, he reconciles, he covers you, he seals you, so that no matter what happens, you're still brand new. You're still under the covering of God. Why? Because Christ has sealed you. God has sealed you. He has forgiven you. He has made you new. All you have to do is confess your sins. Did you spill on the couch? No. You're lying. I saw you. And God sees everything. He knows when you spill on the couch, even if you say no. It's better to say, yeah, messed this whole thing up. Stuff everywhere. It's ruined. No, no, no. Come get the towel. Come get the soapy. Come get the spray cleaner. Remember the spray cleaner? Squeeze it, squeeze it, squeeze it, squeeze it. You know how it makes that sound? Squeeze it, squeeze it, squeeze it, squeeze it, squeeze it. And this spray comes out. It cleans. It magically makes sticky stuff go away. It's like Goo Gone. You ever use Goo Gone? You know, you spray it, it cleans, it makes things new. It gets the stickiest, nastiest stuff out. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. It's a demonstration, saints of God. It's a demonstration. He says, I say of his righteousness at the present time. Do you know God wants to give you a demonstration of what he can do in your life? Do you know he wants to prove himself and show you so that other people around you can become jealous and want God for themselves? If God can do amazing things for you that other people can see and know and experience, how much are they going to appreciate that? I tell you, I grew up thinking, man, I want plastic on my couch. Why? Because I had the demonstration of spillage and saw how it cleans up so easily, how nice it was. It was kind of fun to slide around the couch for every once in a while. It was fun to push my brothers around on the couch, and we would bounce off it and slide down, and we would find ways to enjoy it. And it was just the most amazing thing. I remember when my parents finally, they bought new furniture in our house, and I said, Mom, are you gonna wrap it in plastic? And she said, what are you talking about? I said, you know, like grandma's. She was like, no way. Are you out of your mind? Go play, Shelly. You've lost your mind. We're not wrapping our furniture in plastic. Pay good money for this thing. Hallelujah. Well, Christ has paid good money for us, and he has sealed us. And what I learned later is that the new couch my parents bought had fabric guard. Hallelujah. So if you spilled on it, it just wiped away. You could just suck it out and it would come clean again. Guess what God has given you and I? The blood of Jesus is like fabric guard. And we have the Spirit of God. He guards us. He covers us. He seals us. He keeps us from all sin and danger. He speaks to us. We hear his still small voice. He gives us direction. He enables us. He empowers us. We're in communion with God. We talk to him. He talks to us. We learn to hear his voice. And that is why we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the word of God and to prayer, the breaking of bread, all the things that life are essential for life. We share our lives together so that we can grow in God and resist the devil. Hallelujah. No matter what sin comes our way, we have the ability to resist. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God says, let me give you a demonstration. Hallelujah. Let me show you what I can do if you would just trust me, if you would just have faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. He goes on in 1 Timothy 2:5, and Paul says, for there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. Oh, saints of God, Jesus paid our sin debt. He was our ransom. Have you ever heard of ransom? A situation where you want to ransom somebody, holds you hostage and says, pay me money, pay a debt, and they hold you hostage. Well, that's what Satan has done. He's held the world hostage. He is holding the world hostage. He is holding people hostage. And Jesus came and paid the sin debt. And because of the requirements that God has on what it takes for people to be reconciled to God, Christ fulfilled it all. He was the propitiation for us. He paid our sin debt. And as a result, you and I are being redeemed. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Matthew 20:28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to serve or to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You and I take on the same principles. We are here to serve. We're here to serve one another. That's why the disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching so that they could renew their minds and change the way they were thinking so that they would be able to have fellowship with one another and break bread and experience interaction through prayer with God so that there could be a demonstration of the Spirit of God, of his power and his working in our lives. This is what God wants to do for us. He's still doing it after all these years. God is still representing as one who is able to satisfy the ransom for many. Jesus has paid our sin debt. He says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. This is what John chapter 15 is rooted in, the love of God. Verse 13, we understand that it's because God loves us that he did it. This is why would he sacrifice himself? Why did God just start over? Just go whoosh. Let's just start over. No, God says, no, I love them. I love it. I could just imagine God remembering Adam in the garden. Little Adam, little clay dirt man. He's so cute. Look at him running around in there. All the little animals, all the little things that I made. I got a whole creation going. This is awesome. I don't want to start over. let's just redeem it. And God redeems it. This is his plan of redemption, to bring restoration. He knows your sins. He knows the things you've done wrong. He knows all the issues and all the problems. He says, just confess them, and I will come in with the soapy rag. I will come in with the blood of Jesus, and I will wipe those sins away. If you confess those sins, if you confess your faults, he is faithful and just to forgive us, not only from our sins, but from even all unrighteousness. Everything that we did not do right, God makes us new. He washes us over. He cleanses us. It says that there's no greater love than when someone lays down their life for his friends. It's the picture of what a husband does for his wife. He's willing to lay his life down like Christ laid his life down for the church. That's what the word of God says. That's the parallel. And when you have love, when you have love for someone and when you have love for people, you're willing to do whatever it takes to help them, to be a blessing to them, to draw them closer to God, to help them become better at who they are and what they're trying to do. It's out of the love of God. Hallelujah. This is what this is all about. We're operating out of the greater love, the love that says we are willing to lay down our life for our friends. Hallelujah. For your friends. Glory to God. You and I, we're friends. Why? We're willing to lay our lives down for each other. I know this because we're here sacrificing, we're giving, we're building buildings. We're redeeming people in Africa, Asia, South America. We are seeing God move. We're giving. We're helping because we have a love for God and for each other and for what he is doing among us. Hallelujah. We have reason to rejoice. We have reason to give thanks. This is what Christ has come to do. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Hallelujah. How many of you, we love that song, right? You know that song? I am a friend of God, right? Hallelujah. We should fix it though. It needs to be fixed. It really should be, I am a friend of God when I do what he's commanded me to do. Oh, then I'm a friend of God. Otherwise, he has nothing to do for you. Hallelujah. No. I'm sure we could do a better job at that. But at any rate, we are friends of God. He says, if you're a friend of God, if. How come they didn't put that in the song? That's what the verse says. You are a friend of God if you do what I command you to do. Why? Because that's a demonstration of the love of God. Well, how do you know that? How does your wife know that you love her? You do whatever she says to do. Hallelujah. It is a sacrifice. It can be painful. It is requiring long suffering. You can't understand. You can't figure it out. You just say, yes. Yes, I am willing to lay down my life for my wife. Hallelujah. And God says, I got you. I'll seal you in plastic. Hallelujah. So you can survive and stay fresh and new through the process. And the Spirit of God enables us. He strengthens us. He makes a way for us. And we do what we do because we love the Lord. We love God. When the love of God is poured into you, it has no boundaries. It affects everything about you and everything you do, and it doesn't matter who you engage or encounter. You just have a love for them, and your desire is to see them come closer to God because he is the one drawing from within. Verse 15 of John says, chapter 15, verse 15 says, No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Have you ever heard the still small voice? Have you ever done something you say, you know what, something told me I should have did this instead of that. I shouldn't have did that. I should have went over here. I just don't know why. I don't know what happened. It's not something, it's someone. That's the Holy Spirit trying to give you direction. That's God trying to show you what to do. Because in your flesh, in your physical body, you're feeling like you should do that. But the Spirit of God is like, no, don't go by how you feel. Listen to my voice and follow me. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. And we are being tempted to do things, but God says, I will make a way of escape for you. I make a way out for you. And he says, everything that I hear from my Father, I am telling you so that you can navigate through the challenges of this world and of life. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is awesome. Notice it says you can ask whatever you will of the Father. Isn't that awesome? Well, you seem a little hesitant. And I'm sure you see what I see. There's a qualification, isn't there? You don't just ask what you want of the Father and he'll just give it to you. It says first, you have to do what? Go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And so often, we don't get answers to our prayers because we're not doing what God has appointed us to do. Hallelujah. Remember, I am a friend of God only if you do what he says to do. That's the motivation. Do you want your prayer answered? Well then, become a friend of God. Become a friend of God by doing whatever the will of the Lord is, whatever the word of God is. This is why the disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Hallelujah. Because they wanted to bear fruit, that it would remain, so that whatever they would ask of the Father in his name, that he might or they might receive it from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's an easy equation, isn't it? Simple. All because God is the propitiation. Jesus is the propitiation. He's our mercy seat. He is the one who enables us to make these connections so that we can experience the power of God. Yes! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So he says, this I command you, that you love one another. Because love is the juice, man. Love is the juice. You know, and the more you spend time with God, the more you spend time in his word, the love is going to, it's going to rise up in you. It's going to start stirring. You're going to be like, I don't even know why I even care. I don't know. I don't know why I care. I don't know why I feel so compelled to help, to do something, to even go. I don't know, but I do it. And when I come, it's like, this feels so good. Right? When you're at home, you don't want to get up and go to church, right? Sometimes, right? You ever feel that way? Yeah, you know, that's why you guys are in the second service, right? So you got, you know, you want delay, right? Hallelujah. You know? But when you get here, you're like, I know you're like, because I'm talking to you, and you're like, Some of you guys are like, like, you know, I'm here for you. We're here together. God sent me here so that we can interact with each other. I know I'm way up there. Hey, Paul, can you follow me? You know, I'm here for you. For you, for the people, for the congregation. Me, I'm here. I am your pastor. I am here for you. God raised me up, molded me, shaped me, made me who I am so that I could serve you. You. My life isn't my own. I'm here for you. And whatever God says, whatever he does, whatever he says, that's what I'm doing. And we're in this together. I love you. I do. I love you. It's insane, but it's true. I don't understand it, but I feel it. It's like, I get withdrawal when you don't show up. I'm looking for you. That's why I have Linda calling you all the time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's true. This commandment, it's a commandment. God is commanding us to love one another. We love each other. I got yelled at. I stayed at the men's breakfast till 4 o'clock yesterday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then we had breakfast, right, Uncle Rob? We had breakfast. Then we had snack after breakfast. Then we had lunch. We had burgers and stuff. And then we had ice cream. Had ice cream, even ice cream. Ice cream on top. And just drinks around the house, just over and over. And we were blessed. We were just like soaking each other in. We were like, look, we haven't been around each other for weeks. It's like, nobody wanted to leave. Nobody wanted to go anywhere. And they just kept bringing us food. That's scripture. We're supposed to. We're fellowshipping out of the love of God. We were breaking bread. Don't you love that? God put that in there. Man, I love that. I'm like, God is awesome. Breaking bread is actually a real biblical spiritual requirement. Man, I love that. And it's a commandment. And it's out of the love of God. He says, therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, verse 17 of Hebrews 2, and so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation or appeasement for the sins of the people. This is what Jesus has done for us. You and I, man, we don't have to be down and depressed. We just need to draw closer to God and apply the principles of the apostles' teaching, break some bread with the rest of us. You come hang out with us. I guarantee you, you will never be sad. I guarantee you, you will never be sad. You will never be disappointed. You will see God demonstrating himself in over and over and over again. The reason people are all in these terrible conditions because they're around the wrong people. You need to draw closer to the people of God. We are a lot of fun. Hallelujah. Who's more zany than Linda? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We were trying to get the hook out up here when she was up here for the announcement. Yeah, we were trying to say, wait, you got your dart gun? Who's got the pellet gun? Get her. Poof, we need to tranquilize her. What church has that? I don't know. I don't know how many, if there are a lot that have. But this is the love of God at work. And we are able to do and accomplish amazing things as a body, as a church, as a people. We have a mix of cultures and types of people that you normally don't see in a church. Hallelujah. In the pulpit, I'm talking about. Hallelujah. God is doing amazing things. We got a team going to Ghana. They're leaving this week. They're going to change lives. And people are excited that they're coming. There is just this wave of excitement of what God is doing. And it's all happening around us. But if you're not in, you don't know. You don't know. And that is why it's so important to fellowship, break bread, interact. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of your joy. Don't be so afraid you can't do anything. Yeah, we're wearing masks. Hey, that's the way it is now. It's the style. I was looking at a suit, and it came with a mask. It had a matching mask with the came with the suit. You could get a shirt, tie, and mask combination, you know. And, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's the season of the world that we're in. We're in, you know, hey, you know, it is what it is. But guess what? God is still God. And he is still changing lives. And he is giving his people joy because it overflows from the love. Love brings joy, which brings peace. No matter what the situation is, if you have enough love stirring in you, you can have joy as a result, even in the midst of a challenging and difficult time. And God gives you peace. When you have joy, you will have peace. And that will enable you to be patient, kind, and gentle. This is what God is doing in our lives. He's covering us. Verse 18 says, "For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." Have you ever been tempted? Hallelujah. Well, Jesus was also tempted. He was also tempted, so it says he knows what it's like, so he is able to come to your aid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is able to come to your aid. Well, if you need aid, what does that require you to do? Call for help. You ask. When you need an ambulance, you don't just lay there going, you go, "Someone call 911. Why? Because there are people who are just waiting to come to the aid of people who are going, well, whatever their issue is. There are people that you call for help. When you need help, you call. Well, God is no different. We call on the name of the Lord, and you shall be delivered. You shall be saved. This is what God does. Jesus himself was tempted, so he knows how to respond to the call for help. He knows the importance of responding to the call for help. In fact, he's standing by waiting for your call for help in your time of trouble. And when we call upon the name of the Lord, he is willing and able to come. Isaiah 53:11 says, "As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many," that's us, "as he will bear their iniquities." Hallelujah. You and I, we have sins, we have shortcomings, we mess things up, we have a life of kind of all kinds of confusion and chaos. But when we call upon the name of the Lord, he is able to come. He is able to come to bring healing. He can relinquish anguish of the soul. And he is able to bring satisfaction. He is able to renew and to enable us to see and understand and perceive. Why? Because he's been through it all. He is aware. He has experienced it for himself. He is able to bear our iniquities. That's what Jesus accomplished on the cross. That is why we have a clean house, because the Spirit of God renews us. He cleans us from the inside. He renews us. He revives us. And he gives us his Spirit, who seals us until the day of redemption. He says, "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you." Hallelujah. When we are sharing this testimony of what Christ is able to do, that is why we testify of Christ and of God. It says in verse 39 of Acts 13, "And through him, everyone who believes is freed." Freed from what? All things. What is bothering you? What's oppressing you? What are you meditating on that's putting you off in your feelings, in the way you're thinking, and all that you're doing? Well, Christ is able to free you. He is able to free you. You can be freed through the Spirit of Christ, through the Spirit of God, through the cross of Calvary. And the law could not do it, because the law required you to be right and to be able to have power to do something you couldn't do. That's frustrating. That's annoying. And that is why people had to come with their sacrifices every year because they knew they just couldn't do it. But now, Jesus, this is what Jesus has done for you. This is what he has done for me. This is why I'm up here rejoicing and jumping and praising God. You know why? Because I grew up looking at 80-year-old guys doing this, glorifying God, because they were just happy to be alive. They were just they were so thankful that not only that they were saved, but they still have movement. I'm growing up, I'm looking at people, people they got knees are hurting, back is hurting. They're only in their 40s and 50s. They're like, oh. And so when I remember old men, 80 years old, doing this, hallelujah, praise God, I'm holding on to that. I'm saying, Lord, that's my future right there. That's my future. And I said, guess what? I'm practicing now. So when I was 20, I'm jumping. When I was in my 30s, I'm jumping. 40s, I'm jumping. 50s, I'm jumping. Hallelujah. And I'm going to keep on jumping. I'm going to jump until I jump into the arms of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say, glory to God on high. They said, why is that guy? Boy, he's juiced up. I'm saying, if you knew what God did for you the way I know what he did for me, you would be juiced up too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm watching the juice get passed along. We're all drinking the juice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the Jesus juice. It's the joy of the Lord juice. It's the jumping for Jesus Jack juice. Hallelujah. And God is doing amazing things. He says in verse 39, through him, everyone who believes is freed. Don't you love that? If all you got to do is that everyone, you don't have to be in your condition. You don't have to stay in that place. You don't have to stay in bondage. Everyone who believes is freed from all things, everything, which you could not be freed from through the law of Moses. God is setting you free from the law of sin and death. You and I now have life. They say, ah, look at the life God has given us. He says in verse 11 of Hebrews 2, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hallelujah. So God is not ashamed of us. He doesn't say, ah, you filthy sinner, I saw you sin yesterday. He says, remember that, man, you did that same sin like 2 days ago, then you did it about 2 weeks ago, then about 6 months ago, then you had an even another word variation of that one, like 5-8 months ago, then 10 years ago, I remember that you did a similar thing. You were 5 years old. This is where all this is coming from. You were, it goes all the way back. And I know that it was your mother's fault because she was the one who should have, and then she modeled the wrong thing, and then your father, God help him, and all the things that happened in your grandfather. And so that is why here we are with your 10,864,296,386,5.662,0797 sin that you have committed against the Lord. And so now, you're in trouble. That's why you have so many problems. No, God says, no. He says, I washed all that away and I sealed you in plastic. Hallelujah. I sealed you in plastic. And guess what? You can have sin spilled on you day and night. The blood of Jesus washes it away. All you have to do is confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. He says, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You and I are made clean through what Christ did. One time, he has the power to cleanse once and for all, past, present, and future. He just says, walk with God. Keep your house clean. Keep it renewed. Keep it refreshed. Fellowship with God. Stay true to the apostles' teaching and be in fellowship, breaking bread and in prayer. That's how you keep your house clean. That is how you keep things fresh and new. Verse 11 says, every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, the mercy seat of God, where your sin debt is able to be covered by the blood of Jesus. And so he's waiting, verse 13, from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. You know, God is about to make all our enemies his footstool. Hallelujah. He is bringing the enemy. We see this under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan, he's under my feet, right? Hallelujah. This is what God is doing. He is bringing the enemies of the things of God, what God is trying to accomplish, under his feet. Verse 14 says, for by one offering, that is Jesus, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One time, saints of God, that's all you need. You're sealed in God. You've surrendered your life to Christ. He has redeemed you. He has renewed you. He has revived you. This is why the disciples were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, because you have to keep reminding yourself of this stuff, or the world is going to run you over. You're going to start thinking things about yourself that are not true of who you are in Christ and what he has done for you. You have to devote yourselves to the word of God, to fellowship, so you can have people around you to help you keep things in right perspective. Breaking bread. Who doesn't want to eat and enjoy a good meal? Good Lord, if you don't, then you need to fellowship some more so that you can absorb the goodness of the fellowship and experience the power of prayer in your life. Hallelujah. This is what God is doing. He is enabling you to maintain, to have a clean house. Hallelujah. Jesus has made it possible so you can occupy the house. It's a clean house. Pick up your mantle, saints of God, and let's prevail beyond the times. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go. God is able to do abundantly more than you could ever ask or even imagine. You are already clean by the word of Jesus, by the word of God. And God is renewing us day by day as we fellowship with each other, as we surround ourselves with the word of God, meditating on it day and night, as we're renewed and revived by the Spirit of God. He pours himself into us. The love of God is working within to us. He fills us up with himself, and he seals us until the day of redemption. We are sealed in better than plastic. We are sealed in the Spirit of God, and he sustains us and he keeps us. And as long as we walk in the ways of the Lord, as we hear the voice, the direction of the Holy Spirit, we will overcome every obstacle, and we will be able to navigate through life and see the manifestations of God. You will know that he is building your house so you can occupy and experience the power and the presence of God. Well, Lord, I pray that you would be in the midst of your people. Strengthen us, Lord. Open our eyes that we would be able to see. Fine-tune our ability to be able to hear your voice and follow you. Help us, O God, by the direction that you have given us in your word today, to have a desire to fellowship with each other around the Word of God, to have a hunger and a thirst to engage around people who are able to help us to become more of the people you've called us to be. Help us to enjoy and bring forth fruit in our life, 30, 60, and 100 fold, so that we will be able to ask whatever it is that you have placed on our hearts to ask, and be able to have confidence in you in knowing that you will answer our prayer, that you will respond to our cry of help. We thank you, O God, for enabling us to have a clean house and for enabling us to occupy the house that you have provided for us, that we may indeed take up the mantle and prevail beyond the time. For all these things, we give you thanks, O God, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Woo, come on.